Amen. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 16. I had a phone call from Mary LaGore this week, and they're having a funeral service out there for a police officer on Thursday, tomorrow, and at the church right there. And they're expecting, it was a policeman who was gunned down, and they're expecting 5,000 to 6,000 policemen to show up at the church. Going to do right there at the church, and of course, Dr. Chappell's planning on giving the gospel and so forth. But they were just asking for, you know, the home churches to pray. So if you think about that, it was a Mr. Owen that was killed, and so it's out at Lancaster Baptist Church out there in Lancaster, California, and so I know they would appreciate your prayers. Anybody need a worksheet? Didn't get a worksheet. Don't have any more? Oh, we're out. Whoa, good. I mean, we've got a lot of people. I made 85. I made more than usual. Okay, I didn't realize we needed some more. I'll make more next time. That's good. That's good. We usually have a few left. All right, anybody really need one? I have one here. If anybody didn't get one, I got one I'll let you have. We all right? Okay. All right. Very good. Very good. Mark chapter 16, if you will. And I'm going to read through those first 14 verses. And again, we're walking through Mark and just catching up some things. On your paper, if you have it there, the parts that's in bold, when we do the scripture, that's scripture that's not in the other Gospels. And that's kind of the way we're doing that in Mark. So we covered Matthew verse by verse by verse. But there's a few thoughts in Mark that aren't covered elsewhere. And so the ones that were in the bold print, that's the portions that aren't, the thoughts that are not in the other Gospels. All right, verse number 1, chapter 16 of Mark. It says, "And when the Sabbath was passed," Christ has just been crucified, and he's been in the grave for the tomb for 3 days. "When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him." Now, by the way, the Sabbath was over at 6 o'clock on Saturday. Okay, their day starts at 6 o'clock. The night and the day was the first day. If you go back to Genesis, it started at night. It started in the dark. And so, actually, the Sabbath begins 6 o'clock Friday night and goes to 6 o'clock Saturday night. So about 6 o'clock, apparently, the ladies went out and got these spices. Okay, verse 2. "And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, 'Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?' And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very, very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said to them, 'Be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you in Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you.' And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid." Now, when Jesus was risen early in the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that, he appeared in another form unto 2 of them. This particular verse talks about the road to Emmaus. To 2 of them, as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told unto the residue, the leftover disciples, neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Let's pray, and we're going to talk about concern for the discouraged. Concern for the discouraged. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your blessings. I thank you for this your word, and thank you for the way you show yourself, very, very, very great way, very precise way, when we open our hearts to your word and allow ourselves to see you. So Lord, I pray you just speak to our hearts. We do pray for this funeral tomorrow, and pray that you'll speak to the hearts of the many, many officers there, and I know they would certainly appreciate the prayers. And so, Lord, I pray that you just speak and do a great work and give comfort and peace to the family. Now, Lord, I pray that you be with us now as we open your word. Give us your wisdom, and we'll give you our hearts and all the praise. In Christ's name, amen. Now, as I said before, Mark tends to be brief. He's direct and to the point. He says what needs to be said. He's trying to drive to a point. Mark also tends to look at the interpersonal relations and how folks care for one another and serve one another and interact with one another. And he sees how folks serve and care. Now, Jesus had just been betrayed. Now, think about when in this passage here, it's been 3 days. Jesus had been betrayed by a disciple, denied by a friend, Peter, forsaken by the rest of his disciples, mocked by his own. He came into his own received him not, so the religious people mocked him. He was beaten by the religious elite. He was scourged by the heathen, crucified by the Romans, and more than all these, he had borne the sins of all of them and all of us, and thus was separated from his Father. And finally, to add insult to injury, his corpse had been abused when they pierced his side to make sure he was really dead. Jesus has set the captives free, and now his body lay in a cold tomb. Now, Jesus had risen from the dead only hours before this. He had been abused and executed, and yet his thoughts and concern was for others. And we're going to see that here. We can see the heart of our Savior, and Jesus came looking for them. I know he's God, but he has every right to all of our praise and all of our worship and all of our respect. If anyone has the right to be disappointed, it was Christ. Anyone had the right to turn his back on us, it was Christ. And yet, come the resurrection morning, what's he do? Well, I want you to see some things. Now, number one isn't him, but I want you to see this because it allows us to see ourselves for who we are. Number one, we're going to see the concern for the dead. Now, here we're talking about, in the minds of the people, at the beginning of this passage, in their minds, Christ is still dead. Right? He's still dead. They're going to the tomb to anoint his body. In fact, nobody really believed that he was alive. Why would they go to anoint his body if they thought he was alive? If they thought he was alive, why weren't they all standing at the tomb waiting for him to come out? If they really thought about the resurrection and believed it. Mark chapter 16, verse 1 says, "And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, the lady out of whom 7 devils were cast, and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him." Now we have some ladies here. There were a few people that were concerned for Jesus. We had a couple ladies. You know, it's amazing how selfish males can be. Of course, there's a natural nurturing thing I think most females have. But there were some concerned people. These ladies had not really had the opportunities with Jesus as others had. I mean, the disciples have been blessed to live with him for 3.5 years, to watch him do all these things, to sit down and talk to him and have him teach them directly. They hadn't had that. But they knew that Jesus had actually died, and yet they planned on tending to the body. So here's this Jesus. They were caring for him. They were concerned about it. They respected him. They really hadn't had the opportunity that the other disciples had. But wait a minute, on Sunday morning, where were the disciples? Where were they? Why weren't they there to tend to the body? They had deserted him. And these ladies, like I said, they really believed that Jesus was dead. Otherwise, they wouldn't have come to prepare the body. Where was Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus? Now, they had put the body in the tomb. But they weren't there on Sunday morning. These ladies had been the last to leave the tomb. Matthew 27, 61, you can go back and look at it sometime. But when it was all said and done, they closed it up. They were the last ones to leave. Look at verse 2. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. I don't want me to make a big deal out of this, but think about it. They got up in the middle of the night, so to speak, to go tend to the dead body. The dead body of someone who probably, in some ways, you could say disappointed them. I mean, you think about it. Did it really matter at this point? He's been in the tomb for 3 days. It's a little late now. Decay had already started to set in. Besides, it appears that Jesus wasn't who he said he was because he's dead. So now what? Well, you know what? All those thoughts must have come to their mind to a certain extent. And yet there was something because he spoke as no man ever spoke before. There was a power behind what he said. So they came to the tomb before the sun was up. They diligently got up early and came to tend to the body. Because there's something. This was their Lord, they called him. Now, a little question here. They didn't understand what was going on. It looked like he lost. Do you serve the Lord even when it all seems lost? They did. Well, they had heard all the stories. To a certain extent, they might have even thought, well, this is just a typical politician who promises everything and then passes off the scene and none of it actually happens. Do you serve the Lord when you look like a fool to do it? Where was the rest of everybody else? Here was a couple ladies tending to the body of Jesus when all seemed lost and dead. Well, weren't they going a little overboard? Joseph and Nicodemus had put 100 pounds of myrrh and aloes on the body when they placed him in the tomb. Why go back and bother with all this? Look at verse 3. They said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. Again, they were concerned about a dead Savior in their eyes. They didn't understand, but something was different about this man. We don't understand why it has ended the way it was, but God must have something up his sleeve. Sometimes it looks like God has forgotten, everything's lost. Listen, he never leaves us nor forsakes us. God's got something up his sleeve. He's got something else coming, and we have to be ready. God has not fallen off the throne. And so these ladies were determined to get to Jesus. So determined that they forgot about the stone until they were almost there. Can you imagine? Oh, my soul. How are we going to move that stone? They were the last one to leave. They saw him roll the stone up across the door there. How are we going to move that stone? These ladies had most likely seen the guards posted outside the tomb. So not only was the stone a problem, but they were going to have to confront these soldiers to get them to allow them in to tend to the body. So why are they bothering with a dead lunatic who failed to be whom he said he was? Because it's not as it appears. Sometimes God makes it look like all is lost. That's when the faith goes into action. Because we're not doing on what we see. We're making decisions on who he is. On his name. But let me say, there were a few folks who were concerned about Christ. But where were the rest of them? I'll tell you where, they were here and there. But the fact is, we're going to find that Jesus came looking for them. we fail him, aren't you glad he comes looking? Number two, we're going to see concern for the disciples. Concern for the disciples. This is simple, but it's kind of neat. Verse 5, it says, and entering into the sepulcher, the ladies, saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a white garment, long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth. And that, of course, it's interesting. Why did he bother saying of Nazareth? I mean, really, he's Jesus of heaven. But in their eyes, he's Jesus of Nazareth. Nazareth, okay, Galilee, and this, forgive me, but this always sticks in my mind. I heard a preacher say this one time. He said, Galilee was the armpit of Israel, and Nazareth was the armpit of Galilee. In other words, they were kind of made fun of. They were the outcasts. In other words, it showed Christ's humble beginnings. And I don't know, for some reason, this angel wanted to make sure that they remember that Jesus is a humble being. His humility. Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. Verse 6, he says, he is not here. Behold the place where he laid them. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him as he said unto you. Now, it's kind of interesting the way he says, he lays this out, and I've mentioned this before, but he says, behold where they laid him. All right, good enough. Now go tell. You know, it's all in one front. You see? Not here. Gone. All right, the purpose is not to stand here and make a shrine out of the tomb. The purpose is to realize the resurrection and go tell the rest of the world that he's risen. That's the purpose. It's kind of interesting the way he did that. Now watch this. Think about this. They walk into the tomb. Jesus is out. And here's this angel telling them what they need to do. He says he's not here. Look at it. See? Here's evidence. Now go tell his disciples and Peter, that it goeth before you in Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you. This is kind of cool. The Lord had placed a personal representative in the tomb to greet the grieving ladies. I mean, that the angel just didn't kind of wander in there. God put him in the tomb, so whoever came to the tomb, he's going to be able to say, of course, the Lord knew who was going to show up the tomb first. The ladies who actually were at the tomb last. The ones who came looking to care for him. But he was there. Now, he wasn't doing an exclusion to the others. It's just the fact is, he'll draw nigh to you. You know, you walk close to him, you'll be close to him. He's not going to pull back. But he sends a personal representative to be in the tomb there and say, hey, ladies, I guess I know why you're here. Now, you've been looking for Jesus, but he's not here. He's risen. Come here. Look. He's gone. Now, I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to go back and tell the boys what you just saw here. The reason the angel wanted them to see the empty tomb was so that they had something concrete to tell the disciples. And God knew that the disciples were not going to come looking for Jesus. God knew that. But God also knew that these ladies would come, and so God was ready for them, but a personal representative. Because you know why? He's concerned for those disciples. Those disciples who walked out on him. Those disciples who had been with him for 3.5 years. The disciples who all said, oh, no, we will never forsake you. We wouldn't run away. Oh, no, we wouldn't do this. Well, just Peter did that. No, they all said that. They all joined in. Oh, no, we wouldn't either. No, we wouldn't back out on you. Jesus. And all that they had done, all that he had been through, and you know what the Lord's word? He says, okay, make sure there's somebody down there at the tomb when those ladies come so they can go back and tell the boys it's all right. You know what we would have done? Well, ladies, it's good. Tell you, don't tell the boys. Let them find out by themselves. They don't have enough sense to come in here. Look, I've been telling them for months that I was going to go down to Jerusalem. They're going to crucify me, and the third day I'm going to rise again. These hard-headed, dumb guys, I don't know what, were they just, they're not here. They should have known. You didn't even know, and you still came. But I told them. Let them find out on their own. No. He says, I love them. Number three, he had concern for a deserter. D-E-S-E-R-T-er. Deserter. Verse 7. Go your way, tell his disciples and Peter. You know, the one who denied him three times, the one who made a big to-do, the one who blew off a lot of hot air the night before, and then later that same night walked out on him. Verse 8 says, and they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled. They were quaking. It means quaking had a hold of them. And they were amazed, bewildered, displaced in mind. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid, alarmed, overcome by the circumstance. Now, what that means is, they didn't say, go back and say anything to John and Peter, because they do. Now remember, each gospel, guys, you've got to take the gospels and got to fit them all together. So they go back to tell the crowd, and John and Peter's there. They didn't tell anybody in between because they wouldn't, no one else would understand. I mean, come on. But we'll go back and tell the disciples, and John and Peter is the one that hear about it. And so Jesus made sure that Peter knew that he was thinking about him. He wasn't disclaiming him, wasn't denying him. Jesus said, Jesus put his representative in the tomb and said, now you tell him. And he said, now watch, when you go back and talk to the disciples and Peter. You know why? Because Peter's probably really discouraged right now. I mean, big time. Have you ever blown it so much where you just really think there was no sense in going back to God again? Wait, we've got to be careful because don't deny who God is to his face. His mercy endureth forever. We confess our sins. He's faithful, and just. It's already paid for. To forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, I blew it again. I know. Just listen. Just soak in the mercy. It ought to melt your heart. But soak in the mercy. Just be grateful. Thank him. I tell you what, if you really got a hold of mercy, some of you all might take a trip around the room. You might just up and get happy. Because he saved us out of his mercy. And daggone, he'll come back and forgive us again. Have you ever denied Jesus at some time? Jesus still cares for you. And he wants you back. He wants you back. Sometimes he'll send a representative to make sure you know. Maybe there's times when we're supposed to be that representative. It's amazing how Christians are often the ones that shoot their own wounded. Somebody gets down, gets in the mud, falls, and says, well, you should have known better, and you kick some dirt on them on the way by. Rather than saying, Jesus calls for you. Jesus is calling for you. One, let me take your hand. We'll go. I'll go with you. Number four, he had concern for a derelict. A derelict is a nice D word. It wasn't exactly what I was looking for, but it works. A woman off the street. Verse 9. Now, what's happened between verse 8 and verse 9? You go back and put the other Gospels together. This is what happened. The angel said, go back and tell the disciples and Peter. So they didn't talk to anybody in town. They went back and told the disciples and Peter, and Jane and John and Peter go back to the tomb. And you know the story out of the other Gospels. They go in, and I love it because John, this is out of John, and John tells the story how John and Peter ran to the tomb, and it actually says the disciple whom Jesus loved, of course that's John, beat him to the tomb. But old Peter went in first. But I got there first, just so you know. I outran him. But anyway, we got to the tomb, and it says they found the grave clothes and the napkin lying by itself all folded up. And then they said, it basically came out and it's kind of like, what? Where is he? They still didn't get it. And they go back to town. And so what happens then, Mary Magdalene is there at the tomb. She came back with John and Peter. And they leave. They go back to town. There she is. She looks just kind of, there's got to be something here. There's got to be something here. And so that's what happened. Come to verse 9. It says, now when Jesus was risen early in the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. That's when Jesus comes and he talks to her. Now, think about this. This is a woman that lived on the street, had seven devils. Peter and John go to see what the ladies had seen. And all they saw there was an empty tomb. John 20, verse 9 says, they still didn't get it that Jesus was going to rise again. They left, still not knowing what had happened. Mary stayed behind. And maybe she was looking for the young man in the shining raiment, maybe. I knew he was around here someplace. Maybe he's around a corner here. Maybe she was looking for some other clues. But if Jesus was not risen, think about it, what's going through her mind. If Jesus is not risen, and if the disciples truly didn't know anything about the missing body, then someone else must have taken the body. So he's got to be here someplace. Now, I'm going to read this to you real quick here out of John 20, verse 11. There we go. John 20, verse 11 says, but Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet. Now, why the boys didn't see it, I don't know. But it was where the body Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest? Whom seekest thou? See, she was seeking. She supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself, she saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, master. Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, say unto them, I ascend to the Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. So when you get there, so what's happened is she finally sees him himself. So she's going to go back and tell him again. Now think about this. Jesus had been through a lot. And he must have had other things to do if you want to think about it. But Jesus was there to meet Mary Magdalene. She was seeking with her whole heart. And those that seek him, seek for him with all their heart shall find them. Well, who was she? A woman off the street who had seven devils. I mean, she had so many spiritual problems you couldn't get rid of. I mean, you just couldn't imagine. She was discouraged. But he had concern for a derelict. Look at verse 10. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned. They grieved and they wept. And I left this in there. I wasn't going to put all this in there, but you can see it. This was my notes, but you got it there. They were sobbing. She went back to the disciples And they were grieving and sobbing. They're shedding tears. They're wailing out loud. Apparently, they believed that Jesus was still dead and was going to stay dead. If they had truly believed that Jesus was going to rise as he had foretold, they would not be mourning, but they would be in great excitement and anticipation like a child on Christmas Eve, because it was the third day and Jesus should be alive any minute. Right? If they really believe it, they should say, well, here's the day is the day. I couldn't sleep all night because the day is the day. He's going to rise again. He's supposed to rise again the third day. I don't know where we're going to see him. But we're going to see him. I know we're going to see him because he told us, well, we're going to see him. So maybe we need to go down to Galilee because we're going to meet him somewhere. They were not seeking for Jesus. Maybe if they had not run off from the tomb so quickly, they would have seen Jesus like Mary had seen Jesus. I don't know. He's dead. I don't know what you're talking about, Mary. They went back to town. She stuck around. She got to see two angels this time. And then Jesus. They weren't seeking Jesus like they should have. And yet, Jesus still cared for them and told Mary, do you go tell the disciples? And he called them brethren. Can you imagine Jesus standing in front of you? Brother. Good to see you. Brother. He wants to be named with me. He wants association with me. But the disciples still didn't believe. Look at verse 11. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. There's mourning and they're grieving. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. No, it can't be true. Can't be true. I don't care what you saw. It can't be true. Now, Jesus is going to show up again in the upper room, still seeking the disciples. We'll see that in verse 14 here in a moment. Let me ask you a question. How many times has God, in his love and his mercy, come looking for you? And since you refused to believe in him and his promises, you missed having an interaction with him. The next time God shows up, we need to be already prepared to see him. My wife tells the lady in her Bible class often, she said, we follow the Lord so long, and then we just kind of get tired, and we get discouraged, and we stop. I wonder how many times we were that close to seeing him. Seeing him do something, seeing him work, have an interaction with the Lord Jesus, and we just stopped. Didn't wait in our knees long enough. We just didn't stay long enough. I can tell you hundreds of people who have come through this church in the last 13 years, who stayed for a while, but they wanted Jesus to show up on their timing. If he didn't show up in their timing, that he must not be showing up. So really, they weren't seeking him with all their heart. They were seeking an event with all their heart. A chill, a feeling. And he missed it. Number five, he had concern for drifters. Drifters. I think you'll understand what I'm saying. This is about the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Verse 12 says, so after he appeared to Mary, okay, he appeared to the ladies. Well, the ladies got sent down, and then they went back and told him. They came back, you know, and then he appears for Mary Magdalene, and he still didn't believe that. But it says, after that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, the 11 disciples and others who might have been gathered there. Neither believed they them. Now think about it. These guys were back at the upper room, back in town, and Mary Magdalene comes back and says, I spoke to Jesus. He told me to tell you. We spoke to an angel. He told us to tell you and Peter. Then two more disciples, they come back to town. They were miles away, and they turn around and go back that night and says, we saw him. We spoke to him. Our hearts burned within us. He's alive. He really is alive. Now think about those two men on the road to Emmaus. You know the story. They left town. And Jesus shows up, starts talking to them. They didn't realize who he was. And he says, boy, What's going on? Y'all guys seem down. Are you there any guy in town that doesn't know what happened? There's a man named Jesus Christ, and we thought he was going to be the Messiah. He's dead. Now, this was Sunday morning. Jesus was rising again about the time they left town. Maybe they shouldn't have left quite so quick. But they left town, and so what did he do? He began to preach to them Jesus. He showed himself through all the prophets, all the way through. You know what? Jesus went looking for those folks, watch, who had wandered off. Because things just didn't seem to go as they had thought they should. And so they went back to their old life. The fact is, Jesus comes looking. He has a concern for the drifters. Number six, he has a concern for the doubters. Concern for the doubters. Verse 14, afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. So he finally shows up in front of them. He says, boys, you know what I think one of the things he was trying to do? You're going to have to go out and tell folks. And you're going to expect them to believe, and I'm going to be in heaven. And you didn't even believe when you were told. Even after all the missed opportunities that the disciples had to see the risen Savior, and even after their obstinate disbelief, Jesus still had a concern for them. I got a job for you guys to do. Why? Did you ever wonder why he chose that bunch? Why he chose that bunch of guys to start his ministry? I'll tell you why. Because they're just like us. They're just like us. They were discouraged because they thought their hope was dead. And yet, the real reason they were discouraged is because they refused to, and I'll give you these three things. They were discouraged because they refused to believe what Jesus has said would happen. He told them this was all going to happen. He told them, you go back and read the Gospels. He told them several times, I'm going to go down there, they're going to crucify, I'm going to rise the third day. They should have believed his word. Why wouldn't they believe his word? They had seen all he had done. He says, listen, if you don't believe me for my sake, believe me for my work's sake. At least believe me because of what you've seen happen. If they had believed his word, they would not have been discouraged. They had been waiting with anticipation, waiting for the gifts to arrive. They wouldn't have been discouraged, but they were because, number two, they refused to seek the risen Savior. They refused to seek him. The ladies went looking for him. I don't think they believed he was going to rise either, but hey, they went looking. They went looking for an answer. Number three, they refused to see the evidence of the veracity of Christ's words. They refuse to see the evidence. You know, people have been trying to discount the things that God has done for thousands of years. I had a guy just recently tell me, the Bible is ridiculous. It's just off the wall. It's ridiculous. You really expect anybody to believe that. And so they refuse to see the evidence. If nothing else, the heavens declare his glory. There's evidence right there. But we refuse to see the evidence. Number four, they refuse to hear the testimony of others. They refuse to hear it. They didn't say, well, let's go back again. They said, "Oh no, you're silly." In fact, in one of the other gospels says, and their words were, and their message was as idle words, silly words. Just, "Oh, come on." In fact, it's, I hate to say it, there's a connotation that says it's just a bunch of women talking. You can't believe what they say. I mean, that's the connotation that they came up with there. I'm not saying I do that. I'm not saying I agree. I'm just saying that's weird. That's the connotation there. Oh, just a bunch of women. They don't know what they're talking about. Bunch of emotional, you know, they're just all worked up, and they saw some kind of vision. It wasn't there. It was just they're just imagination. Now, this is a simple thought tonight. But God has a concern for you. Even when you've messed up, even when you've failed Him, even when you've forsaken Him, even when you've forgotten Him, even when you refuse to believe, the disciples, the deserter, the derelict, the drifters, the doubters, He wants them all. He'll take them all. Be thankful that God is concerned for the discouraged. Be ready to believe it, to seek it, see it, and hear Him. I know just a simple thought, not a big, wild message here. But if you think about it, it actually can change your life. We've all drifted. We've all doubted. Sometimes we've all been a derelict, actually. And He's looking for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for looking for us. Thank You for loving us. And Lord, sometimes we get so discouraged, really because we just refuse to listen to Your word, to hear it and believe it, trust it and live by it. And then we start seeing the circumstance, we start seeing our mess, and we think, well, there's no hope. And all of a sudden, that faith in us just kind of dies. But Lord, we have Your word, and You come looking for us, and You love us with an everlasting love. May we never forget it. Lord, speak to hearts here. We thank You for what You're going to do in Christ's name. Amen.